May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, as we heard this morning, he tells them the appointed time is short and the present form of this world is passing away. What was he talking about? Well, after Jesus' death and resurrection, the early Christians expected Jesus to return, the second coming of Christ, really soon. Paul's first letter to the community at Corinth was written in the 60s AD or CE, Common Era as we now call it, and that was roughly 35 years after Christ's death and resurrection. So as the years and even decades continue to pass, it was like, well, it's coming any day now. In fact, one of the reasons that the earliest Christian writings didn't appear until around the mid-60s, first Paul's writings with the Gospels following over the next few decades, is that it was to preserve Jesus' story. Jesus had not yet returned. The first generation of eyewitnesses and those who lived at the time of Jesus were dying off. Paul is preaching about the second coming of Christ, bringing about the kingdom of God, and he and they believe this event to be imminent. Can you imagine being alive then, a follower of the Christ, the Messiah, and expecting him to reappear any day, at any hour, at any moment? It's 2100 years later. Are we still waiting in complete expectation? I'll just leave that with you. Before delving into today's scripture, it's important to understand the concept of time. In Greek, and that is the language in which the New Testament was originally written, there are two words for time, while we only have one. The Greek words for time are chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, and kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Chronos is clock time. It's linear. As we're marking off the minutes of the hour, the hours in the day, or the days of the week, we're dealing with chronological time, linear, sequential. We can measure it, pinpoint it. We even say things like, time is running out. Or like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives, for you soap opera fans. Time marches on. And when we look at our watch or the clock, we're checking on chronos. Kairos, on the other hand, we cannot measure. It's qualitative, not quantitative. It's experiential. Christmas with family and friends, which I know was greatly limited for most of us, is kairos time. We don't ask someone, well, how much Christmas did you have? Instead, we usually ask, how was your Christmas? What was your Christmas day experience like? A great image to help differentiate between chronos and kairos is to see time as either a flowing river which carries us away, that's chronos, or a quiet lake in which we are immersed, kairos. We read a wonderful book during EFM this year, which is the Education for Ministry group. And we have some members here in our congregation, and it was about the Sabbath. That the Sabbath is not just a day off to do nothing or just to do errands. our observant Jewish friends who observe Sabbath, for them, and should be for us, is spending time in the presence of God. Laborious tasks were done the day before, so there were no distractions. And during Sabbath, you were just spending time in the presence of God, but not measured time. You were communing with God. And even all your busy work week or your week leading up to the Sabbath, inside, in your mind, in your heart, you're doing everything in preparation for that time. Doesn't our psalm remind us of that this morning even? For God alone, my soul in silence waits. Chronos and Kairos is the difference between a minute and a moment. We hear people say that, don't we? I'm in the moment, or I was in the moment, as if time, chronological time, is stopped. They've stepped out of time, transcended time. And it can be deeply affecting for many reasons. I remember when my father passed away. He'd had a serious stroke, and I flew back to Ontario. I hopped into a rental car upon arrival at the airport late at night and drove for 2 hours, arriving at the hospital in St. Catharines well after midnight. It was dark, it was somewhat rainy, and everything was in shades of gray. All the streetlights were shining in a very special way, reflected back at me from the wet roads and the wet leaves of the darkened trees. It was silent and very still in this part of the town in the middle of the night. It was surreal. I felt like I was lifted out of time. I spent a week there before I had to say goodbye to my father for the last time and return home. He died 4 days after I left. But I certainly don't remember that time as a period of 7 days. I remember that as a single experience that didn't seem to have a beginning or end, and one that I spent with my siblings figuring out how to say goodbye to my dying father, with whom I had had a complicated relationship. An experience that profoundly affected me. I also have other experiences of Kairos time that are very joyful and eye-opening ones. And I know many of you have too. These Kairos moments can be deeply affecting and even transforming. They can be crisis events, ones that push us to quickly reorient ourselves to that which is truly important. Think about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, that moment when Jesus appeared to him in a vision, and Paul was completely transformed from a major persecutor of Christians to one of its greatest evangelists, defenders, and teachers. So it was Paul in the end who introduced Christianity to the rest of the world. Does it matter how long the vision took? Of course not. Does it matter that through Paul's massive conversion and transformation, the world changed, and ultimately our own lives were affected centuries later? Yes, of course that matters. God stepped down into the timeline of Paul's life. When God chooses to step into our time, that's an intersection of Kairos, time with God, and Chronos, our timeline. And that's where we meet God, right here at that intersection. The first Christmas was just such a moment, God stepping into earth. And when we come to the table of the Lord and partake of the sacrament, God meets us there. It is a moment out of time. So when Paul writes this to the community of Christians in Corinth, What exactly is he telling them when he says time is short? Earthly time, chronological time is running short. Christ is coming. There will be a Kairos moment when people were perhaps tired of waiting and giving up. It's 30, 40 years after Christ died and rose again. But Paul says, no, don't give up. And don't succumb to the kind of preoccupations of the material world. Don't revert back to that because you're discouraged about waiting. The things of this world that will pass away, the distractions and the busyness that crowd our minds and our hearts. He's telling them that it is time to refocus, to reset, to reorient, to shift with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength and all our soul. Yes, deal with what you need to deal with to get through the day regarding earthly matters. Life at that level still goes on, but in parallel, shift spiritually into a space of complete expectation rather than passively waiting. Be in complete expectation rather than passively waiting for God and the establishment of his kingdom. It's kind of been a COVID theme too, hasn't it? Not just for people of faith, but discovering the things that so occupied us, which have been reduced and removed, are not really the important ones. We talk about this a lot. So many have testified that it allows them to notice what's truly more important in life, values rather than stuff. COVID, kind of a Kairos time. How often do we say, I don't even know what day it is today? But COVID or not, let's use our time wisely as a time for reflection and reorientation and refocusing. I think often about our St. George's family and where we were at several years ago before moving into Prince of Faith. And when we got there, we thought we'd be moving back pretty quickly. Now, 7 or 8 years later, it's like any day now, the big day is imminent. And Paul's advice is just as pertinent for us today, even though the context is a little bit different. So our focus should not be on that moving day. It's nowhere near the same thing as waiting for the second coming of Christ. That will be nothing more than a chronos minute in time. And while we're waiting for earthly minutes or days or months to pass, that is our time to discern, to reorient, to refocus, and shift in preparation for intersectionality of God's time with our time and how God calls us into the experience of being a people of faith, whether at Prince of Faith, on Zoom, or in our new abode. How we are to participate in bringing about the kingdom of God here and now. And we need to be ready for that at any moment. Amen.